Rudy, good morning.
Good morning.
I imagine the last few days have been just quite a tense and horrifying for you.
It has. It's been quite a roller coaster. The 48 hours since the quake happened, initially, just the shock of we've never had an earthquake in Haiti. What's going on? And to, okay, next step, where is everyone? Is everyone safe? And what are the casualties and what's going on? And I suppose the worst may have been just the waiting to find out information.
And when were you first aware of what happened?
Oh, I suppose about the half hour after it happened, I was just on the couch at home, just catching up on emails, and when the secretary at the music school, she called me and asked, "Have you heard the news?" And of course, we don't watch really normally. We don't watch TV during the day or have the news on. I said, "No, what's going on?" And she said, "Well, there's a quake in Haiti," and that was battle stations.
Yes.
We just tried to figure out what to do, and first order of the day was really finding our family and figuring out what is going on. And I apologize in advance if some of the phones are going to be ringing, but we still got all kinds of people calling.
That's fine. That's fine. You have family and friends in Haiti, as you said.
Yes.
Immediate family.
Both my parents are there. My older sister is living there now, and uncles, aunts, cousins.
And what do you know about their situation?
As far as we know, everybody's been found except for one uncle, and we're still praying for him that he will be found safe somewhere. The landlines are slowly getting back up, so people are now able to make calls out. But
how have you been communicating with them?
well, the first 24 hours, really, my sister has a neighbor who has a satellite phone, and
Oh,
that's how
okay.
I was able to speak to her very briefly before the phone went dead. And then it was another 24 hours before I heard anything directly from Haiti.
That must have been horrible for
It
you.
is. As my wife could probably attest, I'm no fan of waiting,
Yeah.
and just it was truly unbearable. And when we have all this technology, the internet, Facebook, phones, cell phones everywhere, and that was pretty useless when no electricity, no technology.
Exactly. You'd mentioned your family is getting ready to leave. What will they be doing? Where will they be going?
Well, we don't know. Right now, the planes are not leaving with people quite yet. So commercial airlines or anything like that are not leaving. There's a phone ringing, and I'm gonna try to ignore it for now.
Okay.
It's just hard right now, even though knowing that most of my family is safe, most of them.
Yes.
But you can predict the situation in the weeks, in the days ahead. The food scarcity and no water and
Yeah.
even the health hazards of the dead bodies littering the streets everywhere.
Are they in Port-au-Prince?
They are up on the outskirts of Port-au-Prince. My older sister lives on the hillside, and she has not been as affected. So
Was their home damaged?
there has been some damage to her house. They are still sleeping outside right now, but they are able to go back into the house to attend to daily activities, cooking or whatever it is.
And were your parents and your sister there during the quake up above?
No, my sister had actually just arrived. She was visiting her kids who now live in Montreal, and she arrived that morning, the morning of the earthquake. But she lives up in the hills. But my mother was at the church doing a church meeting, and the whole building and the church after that collapsed within 20 seconds. But she was able to get everybody out that were in the meeting with her. So fortunately, she kept her cool, and I'm very proud of her for that.
That is very, yes. very good. I can
just
imagine.
Organized the effort to get everyone that was in the meeting with her and in the building out of the building.
So, Rudy, I understand, as I've been watching different news sources, that that there is the infrastructure in Port-au-Prince is not that good, as far as, you know, building situations and codes
right.
and so on and so forth. And of course, that was, you know, affected the devastation caused by the quake.
Right.
What do you see in the aftermath here now as happening?
Well, there is so much damage, and I know the media and everyone else keeps talking about how hazardly the constructions and shabby and all of that. And it is true. You know, I don't think there is a zoning law in Haiti. That does not exist. People just build wherever they can find land or build on top of whatever and however they can, and sometimes cutting corners left and right. However, the magnitude of this earthquake, I don't think any of the major European or American cities, metropolitan cities, could withstand that. We would have some massive destruction even in this country. Of course, the shabby construction makes it difficult for services to go in and help out those people, because people were practically building right to the street and sometimes taking
sure.
part of the street. So with all this rubble, people, the big machinery are not able to get to some of the people that might need help, that might still be buried under. And because of that time, the time factor is important.
Yes.
And they may wait, they may be able to wait, but 36 hours without water, without food, their strength begin to collapse, really. The body begins to give. So the next hour or so, my other sister, who's now in Panama, and she made her way down to the Dominican Republic, and she called me early this morning to say that they are trying to get the Red Cross, the Panamanian Army, and the Dominican firefighters are trying to get across to Haiti to do some more relief. The airport, as far as I understand, is being worked on by the Americans. They've taken over there and trying to clear the way to bring in more supplies and more doctors and any, you know, corps of engineers or people that can help with the rescue effort. The next 12 hours are crucial for some of the people stuck in the rubble.
Exactly, especially with the lack of water,
right.
And the pressure and that sort of thing. Rudy, I don't know, you've given us a very good rundown here of what you've been hearing and what you've been seeing, and of course we're all watching it on other news sources. I'm just wondering if you have any other information that may not have been on the news as far as the situation, you know, anything.
Well, I've been constantly scanning the airwaves and listening, and right now I think most of the information has been out. People are trying their best to either through Facebook or internet or emails or texting to send news of loved ones or asking. I mean, I almost feel like this I have become somewhat of a clearinghouse,
yes.
of people calling me because they've heard that I've finally got in touch with people in Haiti, and I had a direct connection, so they call or email me.
Sure.
Could you ask them to look for? Right now, we just need to pray for the people of Haiti and hope for the best. And this is not just a short-term fix. This mm-hmm. has to be a long-term endeavor, because it is an impossible situation. But as my brother-in-law used to say, Haiti is the land where the impossible is possible,
yeah.
and sometimes, unfortunately, the possible is impossible.
Rudy, what we're talking with Professor Rudy Perreault of the University of Minnesota Duluth. He's a professor of music, also a native of Haiti, has family and friends in Haiti and has had contact with them and is aware of everyone's safety but one uncle. Being a native Haitian and knowing what works and what doesn't work down there, what recommendations do you have for people who may want to donate, who may want to help in this recovery effort?
Well, right now, short-term, cash donations are probably the best thing. Cash donations to the Red Cross or UNICEF or Doctors Without Borders, because then they are able to get supplies. They are able to buy water and food and bring that to the people of Haiti. Hopefully, in the next very soon, the airport will be able will open, and more of the supplies will be able to come in. So far, it's been a frustrating situation for them because they have it, and but they're not able to bring it to land. But hopefully, that will be resolved very soon. As far as donation, your local church is probably a good because they may have direct link with other churches in Haiti, and that might be a good way to have not only a local connection or in our own community, but then help directly your church that is related to their own church. But other than that, many people have asked me about places to donate, and I finally compiled a list, a very incomplete list, I know. Of places, and I just put that on my website, on my UMD website. So,
and we will get that from you, Rudy, and post on our website too. So,
that'd be great.
If people want to check that out,
right?
Thank you, Rudy Perreault, from the University of Minnesota Duluth and Haiti, and we wish you, all the best luck in the world for your family.
Well, thank you very much, and thanks for everyone. The support of the Duluth community, especially, has been tremendous. Last night, I attended a service at First Lutheran, and the place was simply packed, and you could feel the love and the emotion and the support of the people of Duluth, and I'm sure in other that has been replicated in many other churches all through the state, all through the world. And we can feel the love, but we still need your prayers and we still need your support.
Thank you, Rudy.
Thank you.